topic. We'll get right into it. As we're going to have band practice tonight, for all you band members, I want you to stay immediately after the service. Now, as I get into the message tonight, please, we need you to stay still and settle down. We don't want no young people getting up and going out, okay? None. We want you to sit still and behave. And if you have a baby that needs to be in the nursery, that's where it needs to be. You take advantage of that. But other than that, everybody just keep your seat for just a few minutes tonight. Very important message that I'm going to bring you. Read you a parable of the Lord gave here, the Good Samaritan, and then draw a thought from that and bring you the message I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart for this service. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 30. Also, remember to pray for Brother Dale Burleson. He's preaching down in Hiddenite tonight, Brother Sam's, and pray the Lord will help him. Amen. Luke chapter 10, verse 30. Now, Jesus answering said, a certain man, now watch this story, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of all of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these 3, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. And then said Jesus unto him, go, and do thou likewise. I want to use that picture of them thieves that robbed this fellow here and left him in the dirt and the ditch here tonight and preach to you on the subject, thief at the back door. The thought verse would be Genesis 4:7, back there where Cain and Abel were trying to give an offering and came to the Lord there, Cain, and gave his offering to the Lord, and the Lord said, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. But if thou doest not well, sin lies at your door. I'm preaching to you tonight on a thief at your back door. Sin is a great thief. We don't realize what a thief sin is. It robs from us. It steals everything that we need away from us. Sin will take everything you've got, mentally, physically, materially, emotionally, and leave you with nothing if you live your life in sin. It'll do it. If you knew that there was somebody at your door tonight, and you heard something scratching around or pecking, act like this, after you went to bed, maybe you heard a window break, buddy, you'd be out of that bed and down them stairs or down that hallway with a butcher knife or a gun or something, you'd say, I'm going to protect me and my family from that thief that's trying to break in my house. I've got news for you. I've got news for everybody here. There's something trying to break in on your life. It's sin. And sin will absolutely steal everything that's good and holy and right away from you. Young people, listen to me tonight. Every one of you teenagers, listen. If you realize what a thief sin was, you wouldn't have the attitude towards sin that a lot of young people have towards sin. Sin is not cute. Sin is not funny. Sin is not something to joke about and laugh about. Many times when I'm preaching to a group of young people, I'll mention some terrible sin and they'll sit there and snigger at each other like it's funny. Well, you go and look and see what sin does to people, you'll realize that sin is not a joking matter. Now, by way of a little doctrine here tonight, let me give you the doctrinal position that we have on this parable. Everything in this parable, I believe when the Lord gives a parable, the Lord gives everything in that parable is significant. I don't believe He wastes words in a parable. Every part of the parable represents something. you want to study this scripture doctrinally, you first have a man. You have his man at Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Salem, means peace. You have him at peace and rest. Then we have him departing from Jerusalem. That means he leaves the place of God. Went to Jericho, went down. You always go down when you leave the presence of God. We have him departing from God, going down. Then we have the thieves that catch him out there on the road. That's sin and Satan. We see that they stripped him. They robbed him of everything he had. We see they left him half dead. That's a picture of us in our sins, half dead. Got a dead spirit and a live body. Then we see a Levite come along. That represents the law. He passed by on the other side and can't help the man and can't get him out of his mess. Then the Good Samaritan comes along. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. And goes to him and picks him up, being saved. He pours in the wine and the oil. The wine pictures the blood of the Lamb. The oil pictures the Spirit of God. He sets him on his beast. That's a picture of sound doctrine. Hebrews chapter 13 said, "Be not carried about." Doctrine carries you. It carries about by every wind of doctrine. Sound doctrine, his beast that he set him on. And then in the next thing, he took him to an inn, a type and picture of the church, and got him in there and made him a part of it. He was greeted by the host, the pastor of the church that took him in. And the Lord said, "You keep him, and I'll give you 2 pence, representing the 2,000 years that he's going to be gone, and said, when it's over, I'll be back, and anything else you spend on him, I'll take care of him." That's where we stand doctrinally in this story tonight. But we're going to talk about it literally and quote Romans 7 and verse 11, where Paul said, "Sin, by taking occasion, deceived me, and by it slew me." Sin will destroy your life. Sin will ruin your home. Sin will ruin your marriage. Sin will ruin your career. Sin will ruin you and your job. Sin will ruin your relationship between you and your family. Sin will steal every good thing that you've got and take it away from you, and it's at your door tonight trying to get in. I want to say, first of all tonight, sin is a thief. Sin is a great thief. You think of who it has robbed and what their positions were. It's robbed kings and nobles that were not able to handle it. Sin robbed and deceived Adam and caused Adam to have to leave the Garden of Eden. The man made in God's own image lost paradise because of sin. The angels were fallen there in the early days, then slew because of sin, who were glorious in their first estate. Yet sin brought them down and reserved them in chains of darkness to be reserved under judgment of that last day. Sin will take you off of a church pew and put you out on the chain gang somewhere and put you in prison in a life behind bars. That's what sin done to those angels. Not only that, sin stole Saul's kingdom. Sin stole David's joy of his salvation. Sin got Samson's eyes and power and testimony and life. Sin brought Nebuchadnezzar off his throne. Sin, of course, robbed Judas there and caused him to sell the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Not only is sin a great thief, sin is a bold thief. It enters uninvited and unannounced. It'll come in on anybody, even in church. You know, they said that the Gideons reported over 4,000 Bibles out of hotels in New York that had been stolen out of motels. Gideon Bibles. Sin is no respecter of person or places. It'll just walk right in and steal. Now, listen, sin is a bold thief. It's a bold thief that'll come right in the church like they done in Florida. Guys come in with hose stockings over their head. They came in, they held a congregation at gunpoint and stole the offering. And brother, desecrated the altar right there in front of the people. That's what sin will do. Sin will walk right in here, get one of these precious, pure young ladies out of this youth choir and drag her out there and drag her through the muck and the mire. It don't care about you. You girls hear me tonight? Sin don't care about you. My girls, my three girls here tonight, listen to me, Carrie. Listen to me, girls. Sin don't care about you. It don't come out and say, "Hey, she's a preacher's daughter. I can't bother her." It don't care. It'll destroy your life. It'll destroy your kid's life. It'll destroy my kid's life and my family and your family. Sin is a very, very bold thief. And not only that, sin is a subtle thief. It robs day and night. It's hard to find him out. He disguises himself so as not to be recognized. He'll change his name. If you call him pride, he says, "No, that's just decency and comeliness." If you call him covetous, he said, "No, I'm not covetous. I'm industrious and I'm thrifty." He tricks some by pleasures of the world. He tricks some by the riches and fame and vainglory and honor of this world. He promises kindness and friendship, but he'll rob you. He'll promises you you'll have many days to get over it and straighten it out, but rob you of that change. He promises heaven to the vilest sinner while he puts a knife to his throat and wraps chains around him and drags him to hell. Sin will trick you. There is nobody in here smart enough to outsmart sin and the devil. You know what? That's what, you know where Christians get in trouble? When you get to the place where you think, "I can handle it. It don't really bother me. I can be around sin, or I can go to sinful places, and I'm mature enough in the Lord to where it don't bother me." Listen, if you hang around sin and hang around sinful places, it's not going to be long till that sin's going to be getting in your heart. I don't care who you are, how strong you are, how much you've read the Bible, you have something in your old nature that responds to sin, and pretty soon it's going to start looking good to you. It'll trick you, and then you'll realize what a fool you've been. Sad thing about it is, it's too late most of the time when people realize how they've been tricked by sin. You can't handle it. I heard about this fella who went into a jewelry store and he bought a pearl, a real beautiful pearl, and paid $5,000 for it. A few days later, this man called the jewelry store back and he said, "I love my pearl." He said, "I'll give you $25,000 if you can find the exact mate to that thing, one just like it. If you can find it, I'll give you $25,000. The jewelry store said, "Great." They put an ad in the paper saying, "If anybody has a certain size pearl, we'll pay so much for it." And so the man had his girlfriend to call in. She called in and says, "Hey, I believe I got the pearl to match that one you're wanting." She just took that one he bought from them for $5,000. And she brought it in. They said, that's it. That's the exact match. And they gave her $20,000 for it. Pretty good idea, ain't it? You see how smart sin is? And instead, he made $15,000 off that jewelry store and never did go back and give him He ain't gonna give him $25,000 for that pearl. He's tricking him. That's what sin will do. You know what sin will do? It'll say, "Hey, would you like to have this? Oh yeah. Well, I gotta stay out of church and I gotta do this and I gotta do that. But it don't matter if I can have that." Listen, you'll wind up being the one that loses. You'll wind up being the one that comes out on the short end. You teenagers, listen to me tonight. Listen to you, preacher. Listen to me. I know, you know, I'm old and over the hill and all that to you, but I'm telling you, sin will rob you and you'll be sorry one day. You're getting old faster than you think you are. As a matter of fact, none of us no older than anybody else. We're all moving at the same speed. Just some of us started before others did. And one day you'll remember that what I'm telling you is right. Sin will rob you of everything that you've got. When sin is around, you always lose. You always lose. How does sin rob men tonight? How does sin rob men? First of all, sin robs men of their time by telling you it's too soon to be saved. Sin will tell you you've got plenty of time. Sin will tell you that that you've got plenty of years to think about this being saved stuff. And then you're cut down in a moment like the grass. They don't realize that time is short and they're falling into a pit. They prefer earth before heaven, gold before grace, and the good of the body before the good of the soul. Sin robs men of their peace with God. Listen, let me tell you what this Bible says, young people. This book here tonight said, "There is no peace, saith God, to the wicked." I don't care how they come on those Grammys and accept their awards and say, "Oh, you know, this is living in paradise and we've got it made." That book said, "There's no peace, saith God, to the wicked." If people's out here living in adultery and fornication and drugs and partying, you mark it down tonight. I don't care what kind of an act they're putting on. They do not have peace with God down on the inside. Do you know why them people in Hollywood is always talking about AIDS? And, excuse me, raising money for AIDS and putting the pressure on the government to fight AIDS? Do you know why? Because they're dying like flies of it. And their sin is beginning to find them out. Then I had an article the other day, I think Carrie brought home from school, and it was talking about famous people that had died. I mean, it had pages and pages and pages of people that lived the high life. They thought sin wouldn't get them. They thought they could get by. They thought, "Hey, I'm high class." They thought, "Boy, oh Liberace, he thought, buddy, I'll live it up for years and years and years." I mean, he could buy him a Cadillac to reach from here to that wall any day of the week he wanted. He lived in luxury. He could eat shrimp and caviar and lobster and anything he wanted anytime he wanted. He had all the girls. Let's start to say girlfriends. I don't reckon he had no girlfriends. He had whatever he wanted. I mean, brother, he had it at his fingertip. But I want to tell you what he done. He forgot that the book teaches that sin will get you. Sin will get you. And his brother at 60-something years old, he lay a withered up, old dying wretch. And all of his money couldn't help him. And all of his fame couldn't help him. And all his fur coats couldn't help him. Sin brought him down. And it'll bring you down. I don't care how much money you got. They had people listed in there like Miss Kitty that played on Gunsmoke. You know what got her? Sin got her. She died of AIDS. Like the fella who produced the little Beauty and the Beast and that other little old thing, that some little like a cartoon like thing. Sin, AIDS, destruction. Listen, sin don't care about you. Sin don't care about you. You say, "Well, I know some movie stars, they've been living like the devil for a long time and they've gotten by." Yeah, it gets some before it gets others, but you mark it down, it'll steal everything. Brother, you can look at some of them poor old people that's been living in sin for years. Look at the look on their face. My, you can tell, you can tell, you can tell, brother. I mean, brother, it got sports heroes. It got a lot of people that's involved in the arts. When I see people like that, I know a man right now, excuse me, he used to have peace with God, and little by little he's allowed sin to come back in his life, and now this evening that man lives a miserable life. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that he tried to take his own life just any time, because he's not realized how powerful sin is. The other night, me and the kids was sliding in the snow, and as soon as it got deep enough, they wanted to go out and slide, and they were sliding down my front yard. We're starting right up there at the house, and you just kind of run and fall on the inner tube, and you go all the way down the front yard, almost in the pond. You had to drag your feet to keep them going in that water. And the living, I mean, they was brave. We had another little sled, and a friend of the kids came over, and they was playing. They played till late that night, and you know, it got real bad Thursday night. I'm just looking for an excuse to go somewhere, like when it snows. And I had my truck out, and I put that thing in four-wheel drive. And I just got out, and we took him home. Me and Laurie took him home about 12 o'clock Thursday night. And it was his car's off in the road. And I told her, I said, "Let's just take a long way home. Go around through town." I drove around that way and come up Main Street and around town. I come out here around behind the church and looked at the church and made sure everything was all right, and went around the parking lot a time or two. If I ever see anybody doing that, I'll call the law on you. I mean it. You better not be out there cutting up in our church parking lot. I was making sure it's safe in case it was bad this weekend. That's right. You better not be acting a fool out there. And anyway, we come out this way, and I started down the street, and I mean the road was covered, it was pouring the snow. We got right over the hill down there and started down East Court Street, and I saw a young lady walking up the street. And you could barely see, and I said, look at that girl walking up the street there, this late. It's 25 degrees, pouring the snow. Boy, we got past her, and she said, Danny, why don't you turn around and go get her? She said, maybe, no telling what? And I thought, well, you know, so I did. I turned around, went back, and I pulled in. She's walking up the street right down there at the Amoco station coming this way. When I pulled in, I was shocked. When I pulled the truck in like that, and I looked at that girl, she had on a jean jacket and a little nightshirt that come to about right here. I thought she had on a miniskirt. It was just a little nightshirt to right here. And that was all. No shoes. Barefooted. Crying tears. Her hair was white with snow and tears coming down her face. Boy, when I seen that, it got home in. I said, look, she ain't got on no shoes. And it was just like something just stabbed me. And I kind of rolled my window down. And I said, ma'am, can I help you? And she was crying, and she said, yes. She said, will you please take me somewhere? I said, get in. She scooted over, and that girl crawled in, just a young girl. She began to talk to her. I said, what in the world are you doing? I never seen nobody walking barefooted in snow. I don't see how she stood it. I mean, brother, is that deep? She just went through that with no shoes on. I said, what is wrong? She said, her and her boyfriend got in a fight. She's pregnant. He run her off, and she got mad and left. She was just walking, had nowhere to go. Headed out to a friend's house way out across Mill. And I took her there. Out through there, I was going out the road, and I got to thinking. I said, how old are you? She said, 21. I got to thinking about that being one of my girls. And I thought, that sorry, low-down, scummy devil. That's what he cares about, young people. He don't care. He just soon drop you off on the side of the road, girls. You go to them parties, and them boys will smile at you and say, hey, baby, you're the best-looking thing I ever seen. Don't you believe a word of that lying devil. They just soon dump you in the gutter as look at you when they're through with you. Sin don't care. Sin don't care. Listen to me, young people. Listen, that girl, I guess God only. I guess God had us to come by, I don't know. Come to find out, her brother comes on Laurie's bus. She began to talk to her. Tore her up, boy, I tell you, it tore her up. On the way home, we started talking. That's what sin will do. Sin's cruel. Sin's cruel. Sin don't care about you. I think the devil will make you miserable any way he can make you miserable. And leave you. I was thinking about when my daddy first died. It's been 2 years now. When you go through something like that, if you're not careful, I was telling somebody the other day, if you're not careful, that's when the devil will really get on your life. And he'll torment you with it. I remember when my daddy first died, I missed him so bad. You don't realize how much you miss somebody. I didn't talk to Daddy that much, but I'd see him going up. Me and him meet each other once a day at least. He'd be coming to town, I'd be going home. I'd know where his truck would be set, and I'd throw up my hand at him. Last thing I ever said to him was, what are you doing out there? He's out there getting my wood out of the back of my yard. That was on Saturday. He died on Sunday morning. I said, what are you doing getting my wood? And I don't think he even said anything. He didn't even answer me. And he's out there, and the next morning he died. And for several days there, I thought I was losing my mind. You know, have you ever been through something like that? It'll drive you crazy. For a solid 6 months, I prayed for him. I'd catch myself I'd say, dear Lord, help me. And I'd think, what am I doing praying for Daddy? And you think, good night, I'm losing my mind. I'd think I see him over there walking in the yard. I mean, have you ever done? I just go down there and I think, well, there he goes out to feed his dog. And I think, good night, he's gone. I think, man, I'm losing it. And I begin to think, just what, how, something's, I think just the devil. I think it's just the devil tormenting me. Just wanting to torment me. I dreamed about him and dreamed about him and dreamed about him. I dreamed about him last night. Last night I dreamed about him. And I think sin does that to us. Sin will come back. The Bible says the wicked flee when no man pursueth. Did you know sins that you committed a long time ago will come back and haunt you and nearly drive you insane? It don't care about you. It don't care. I've heard men 35 years old say, before I was saved, I was a young man, and I went and I maybe went, watched dirty movies or looked at pornography or something like that. They said, now I'm 35 years old and I can't get that junk out of my head. It torments me day and night. It bothers me. That's what sin will do to you, kids. It ain't playing fair. It ain't playing fair. Anytime you mess with sin, it'll put a dent in the fender of your life. And brother, you're going to have to deal with that thing the rest of your life. God can forgive you. God can wash it away. But there's something about it, boy. It'll steal every bit of peace with God that you've got. I believe I'm talking to somebody tonight. I don't know who it is. But I ain't dumb. I've been in this thing long enough to know. Thank God. It's a miracle. It ain't been worse than it is here at our church as many young couples as we got. It's a miracle in the grace of God. And I know some of you fought the battle. But I guarantee you, I'm talking to somebody here tonight that you're a married person, a woman or a man, and there's somebody at work or somebody that you know that's tempting you, and you're being tempted right now to commit sin, have an affair, or leave your husband. I guarantee you there's somebody like that here tonight. You may be sitting there feeling real nervous saying somebody told him it. Ain't nobody told me nothing about none of you that I know of for sure. Right off the top of my head. I'm just saying this because I believe the Lord laid it on my heart. And I'm telling you, you, whoever you are, you better sit back and evaluate and say, hey, look what the devil's trying to do to me, because he's fixing to steal your honor and fixing to steal your testimony and rob you of your joy and your power and the respect that your kids have for you and your power with God and your happiness and your peace and, brother, maybe even your life. You say, well, I just don't love my husband anymore. Well, you better get right with God and make things right. Listen, 99 times out of 100. I mean, I've had them tell me, I don't love my husband anymore, I don't love my husband anymore, I don't love my husband anymore. 99 times out of 100, when somebody says that, they somebody else way, way back there in the back of their mind. And I've had them tell me, oh, no, sir, Brother Danny, there's nobody else. But way back there in the back, there's a faint picture saying, wouldn't that be nice? You better get that junk out of your head, because that's sin trying to rob you of what God has blessed you with. Yeah. And I know that I'm doing some deep plowing here tonight, and I hope and pray that God will use this message to help you. For heaven's sake, you know what people think? You know what these nutheads think nowadays on these talk shows and stuff? They think that your love sustains your marriage. They think, well, as long as we're in love, we'll stay married. But when we're not in love no more, we'll be unmarried. No. That ain't the way it works. Your love don't sustain your marriage, because love just kind of, you feel good sometimes, you feel bad the other times. You really enjoy it sometimes. Other times you don't enjoy being with each other. I want to tell you something, brother. Your marriage sustains your love. It's not that your love sustains your marriage. The fact that you are married sustains your love for each other. Can you get that through your head? If you operate the other way, you're going to go from one to the other all your life and never will be happy. Sin robs men of their communion with God by telling them that God won't give it to them. Have you ever thought, I just can't feel the Lord's presence no more? I have. Man, when I talked to that girl the other night in my truck, I was sitting here, my wife sitting here, and she's sitting over there, and I leaned over and started talking to her. Boy, I felt God in that truck so strong. Boy, it felt good too. Done me good. I was telling her, I said, Just think, that could be you. That could be Carrie out there in sin like that. Man, that'd break your heart, people. You think about New York City and places like that, all the young people. That song Young Child at the youth choir sing. Walking down a lonely avenue in a world that's out to take away her soul. Sin robs men of their communion with God. Sin robs men of their immortal souls. As thieves and travelers robs kings and binds them hand and foot, steals the treasure. Sin will bind you, wrap its ugly arms around you, and steal that precious treasure that you have called your soul. Years ago, there's an old deacon walking to church back in the days when people rode horses. Young man who was a blasphemer come by, wicked young man come by and saw the old deacon walking to church and stopped and laughed at him and said, "Ha! How far is it to hell, old man?" The old deacon looked back at him and he said, "It's not far. The side of the road, a corpse." That's a picture of young people. That's a picture of young people that laugh and say, "Ha ha, not me." Some of you teenagers here tonight, you're not listening. I mean, you're hearing me, but you ain't listening. And you're fooling around with sin. And you think just because mom and daddy don't know it, that you're going to get by. But you're in for a shock. You're in for a shock because it will get you. It'll steal from you. And take from you what you have. The largest robbery in history years ago was reported in Ireland in 1974 at the home of a great fellow who had these great paintings in his house. Somebody stole a bunch of paintings valued at $20 million. But if sin steals your soul, drags it to hell, that's a bigger robbery than somebody stealing $20 million worth of paintings out of a castle or a man's house. Now the truth is tonight, sin's out to get you. The devil, if he can't get you one thing, he'll get you another thing. And you've got to realize that sin is a thief, and you've got to come to the point where you say, "I'm sick and tired of this. I'm not going to let him rob me." Oh, he can paint you a pretty picture. He can put some crazy stuff in your head. Guarantee you, some of you people this week have had some wild, crazy stuff run through your head. Thank God you've got to realize that sin is just trying to steal from you and take away your joy and peace with God. Let's stand by our heads. Now, every head bowed, every eye closed, this is a serious time right now. Young people, you ought to be more committed to God right now, tonight, against sin than you ever have been before. Teenagers, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, teenagers. Some of you, just to be on the safe side, just to be on the safe side, ought to get down here to this altar tonight and say, "God, protect me from sin. Protect me. Don't let sin come and rob me of my joy. My power." They could take you to the jails tonight, teenagers. They could take you to the funeral home tonight and show you what sin's done to some people. Huh? Sure could. Some's already coming. If you need to come, come on. Come on, come on. Be a young man with some guts. Be a young lady that's going to say, "Hey, I don't want sin destroying my life. I don't want it. I'm going to get down there and pray." Oh yeah, it's not the sign of a sissy that'll get down here on the altar and say, "I don't want my life destroyed by sin." You cool cats, you're going to find out the hard way. How about it, young man, young lady? God's speaking to your heart. Father, do what ought to be done tonight. Thank you for these that have come and these that are coming. Lord God, I pray for that one of those who is just about to let sin destroy them. Lord Jesus, help them tonight. Help them, Father. Help them, Lord, to get their life right with you.
Help them, Lord, to lay it all on the altar and put it under the blood. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, come on, let's sing. Come on, come on, just get out of your seat and come. Come on, young people. Come on, mamas and daddies. Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Amen. That's right, come on.
Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
All right, everybody, let's sing. Everybody sing.
Are you washed
sing, help him.
In the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Let's sing another verse, Brother John. Everybody sing.
Are you walking daily by the same?
Come on, come on.
Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed
everybody
in the blood?
Here we
of
go.
The
ready?
Lamb?
Sing.
Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are you garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Get a hold of yourself tonight, Christian. Get a hold of yourself. The devil's trying to get some of you. He's dragging you down and dragging you down and dragging you down and dragging you down and dragging you down to where you just don't care no more. Don't let him do it. Fight! Fight! Fight to stay alive. Stay right with God. Sometimes it tells you have to fight a little bit. Sometimes you have to struggle a little bit. Sometimes you have to tough it out. Sometimes you have to do some things you don't want to do. I'll never forget, Danny Tucker told me one time, he said he went through a period, this is years ago, in his life, where he got cold and didn't want to read his Bible and got to where he didn't even want to come to church. And suddenly he realized, hey, I'm messing up. My life's going to be messed up if I don't. And he said he made himself read his Bible. Even he didn't even get nothing out of it. He made himself pray, made himself come to church, made himself read the Bible, and first thing you know, God gave him the victory and helped him. Sometimes you got to fight. Sometimes you got to fight. You can't just go with the flow and do what you feel like doing, or you're going to wind up losing everything. You got to fight sometimes, folks. You got to fight. Let's sing another verse, Brother John. If anybody else needs to come, come right now. Sing it.
When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansion bright and be washed
all right,
in the
everybody
blood
ready
of the Lamb?
Sing it.
Are right you washed help in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Stop right there.